Welcome to the Pirates Overwired podcast. I'm your host, Justin Osterwick. In this series we like to call the Coaching Carousel, we will sit down with the Seton Hall coaches and talk to them about previous playing careers, coaching philosophies, and so much more. They offer so much advice to current and future Seton Hall athletes. We're so excited to share it with you all today. Without further ado, Jonathan, who are we talking to today?
In this edition of the Coaching Carousel, we have Coach JT Harper on. Coach Harper is your men's golf coach here at Seton Hall. As Seton Hall golf alumni himself, he was the assistant coach for 3 years before becoming the head coach at the end of the 2022 season. Coach Harper had an impressive golfing career here with a 75.20 career scoring average and having a career best 74.52 stroke average as a senior, with collecting two top 10 finishes. He was also a two-time Cleveland Golf All-American Scholar and an Academic Merit Award recipient at SHU. Coach Harper discussed his life before coaching, his time here at the Hall as a student athlete and now a coach, recruiting tips, mental game advice, coach insights, and much, much more. So it was an awesome conversation with Coach Harper today, and we are really excited to share it with everyone as well. So without further ado, Coach JT Harper.
So welcome, Coach Harper, the men's Seton Hall golf coach. So first things first, it's a little bit brisk, cold afternoon here. How are you doing this afternoon or this morning?
I don't even know. Cold is a good word, but no, life is good. Downtime, spend some good time with my family, which is always important after, the travel season in the fall and before the travel season in the spring.
Yeah.
But everything is good.
Yeah. Nice. How'd that fall season look for your team this so far this year?
Yeah, I'm certainly proud of the guys and how they performed. I know there were a couple events that we came in second in two events, and that stings. When you're in contention, you want to pull out the victory. But no, I'm proud of the guys. I think we only had four events this fall, and we'll have seven before Big East this spring.
Wow.
So we
nice.
Are playing eight events this spring. So it was good. They got to focus on their classwork and kind of gear up for a really heavy spring season.
Mm-hmm. That is for sure. And you just mentioned that heavy spring season. So are there any matches that you're really looking forward to, like that you've kind of starred? You're like, yeah, I'm ready for this one.
Yeah, I mean, nothing compares to the conference championship. Mm-hmm. It's just a completely different energy. But we're going out to the West Coast to Seattle. Play at Chambers Bay, a U.S. Open golf course, which is great. There's a ton of good events. We got two local to finish up before we head down to South Carolina for Big East at Princeton. And then we're playing LIU's event this year, which will be fun. They're all really good events, all good fields, and just excited to see what we can do.
Yeah, that is super exciting. I love keeping track of golf and stuff like that every spring, especially in the spring, because that's when like swim schedule kind of starts clearing out. And I know you guys are on the road, so it must be nice to kind of touch base with them when you can and stuff like that. So when you got recruited here by Seton Hall, what did that story look like for you?
Yeah. So, it's not that long ago, but, my freshman year, I went to University of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I then took some time away from school, and realized, okay, golf is my ticket. I've got to get a college degree. So, a family friend, that we were talking to was an alumni here, Jamie Bosworth, now his I coach his son on the team, which is a small world. But he had played here and put us, my family in touch with Clay White, who's the coach, and Alan Small, his assistant. And I came out for a visit, fell in love with the university, the smaller family feel. Especially compared to University of Missouri, which was great in a totally different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up coming here in the spring of 2013.
Okay.
And got to start competing right away, which was awesome, and loved every second of playing here.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that we've touched upon with our athletes is like that small school feel, but like you also feel like you're in a big school because you're so close to the city, where you can get to into the city, go see a Knicks game, go see a Nets game, go to Yankee Stadium, stuff like that. But also you get back to South Orange and you're on this little
poster size little campus, and you can get from athletics to Corrigan in about a 5-minute walk. So it's one of the best things that we've got to talk about here. So what was it like playing here under Coach White, and like, how was your experience playing? Any fun stories of during your playing career?
Oh man. My experience was incredible, which is why I'm sitting in this chair right now and back coaching at this university. You know, I think golf is such a different, more like it's a unique experience in college. I think it's the best experience ever. Obviously, I'm biased, and I've never been in your shoes. But you know, you're with your brothers that become almost a fraternity, right? Mm-hmm. You're competing in a sport that's not, you know, crazy physically taxing on your body. Mm-hmm. You're traveling to different country clubs across the country. You're basically chasing the warm weather.
That must be nice.
And you're doing this with your best friends. So I have tons of stories that, you know, I can't share them all in this with the microphone in front of me, but just the best memories are, you know, traveling and competing with my teammates. Playing good golf is a lot more fun. You know, our successes were, we won the Navy event. That was a really good, it was a fun experience. So the team's done a lot more winning since I've been a part of the program, which is what we want. So
yeah. That is for sure. Do you have like a favorite match that you can remember that you guys played other than the Navy one?
As a player?
Mm-hmm.
Big East, just every single one.
Yeah,
my senior year was a fun one. I was in contention to win it individually. Obviously, it's the team stuff that matters. Yeah. But just having that conference feel, I think a lot of the times in a sport like golf, right, what the guy next to you does doesn't have to or should affect you. So you're not trying to steal the ball from somebody. You're not, you know, playing tennis and that guy's shots, how he spins it is going to affect your response to it. It's you against a golf course. So I just think when you have that conference tournament feel and you're playing against all these biggie schools where you're watching, you know, the basketball team compete against, it just brings a different energy. And so every second of the Big East tournament is what it's all about to me. Yeah.
And you talk about the Big East tournament, and a big part of why the success of the golf team now is the Big East championship. Was it last year? It was two years ago. Now, yeah. Wow, crazy time flies.
Yep.
Talk about that and like I guess the whole team, your experience, like coaching them, because that's like one of your first years.
I was assistant for 3 years. That was my last year as assistant coach. So, that team was really special. And it was exciting to take the program over right after that.
Right.
Because now I had seen and experienced what a championship team looks like. It was definitely led by our fifth year seniors, Andres and Gregor.
Shout out to them.
I still have their picture outside my office. I think in a lot of ways their leadership of that team is the reason why we won that championship. They were vocal leaders. They said, buy in to this. We're going to work our butts off. And second place is not an option, right? The team was close knit. They just wanted to battle for each other, and it was so special coming down the stretch of that, because there were a few teams in contention, and we just, you know, played the cleanest down the stretch, and so many clutch golf shots. It was fun to be a part of, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is for sure. And when we talked to Brian Felt, Seton Hall's athletic director, he told us the story about Gregor on that last hole forfeiting the hole. What was that experience like for you as a coach, like seeing Gregor do such an honorable thing and let it was a UConn player, right?
Yep.
Be able to take Caleb. The win and go go into NCAAs.
Yeah, so I mean, first and foremost, Caleb was a phenomenal young man and a great golfer, right? He had an outrageously good season. And you know, our guys are cordial and they're kind human beings, and that's what we want, right? So they had a relationship with Caleb, and it was, you know, I kind of just stood off the 18th green and let it happen. I saw in Gregor's eyes immediately, he understood the situation and just wanted to do the right thing. You know, his mindset was more Big East representation,
yeah,
plus a guy that deserves it, mm-hmm. right? So to him, it was a no-brainer. And it was really, like, I was so proud of him for, in that big of a moment, understanding the situation and doing the right thing. So it was, yeah, it was, there were a lot of moving parts to, mm-hmm. you know, that at first they were trying to not let him, that the Big East wasn't trying to let him do it.
Oh, I know that.
So it, just because they were kind of confused, they were like, well, we have to tee off. He's like, look, I'll lose on purpose if we have to tee off, but there's no added benefit for me. I'm going to regionals with my team. Caleb should go too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just so outrageously proud of him. More so to just recognize in that moment, focus in what's the right thing to do here, yeah. and then act on it.
And it was kind of the thing. It's like, it's for the conference. The more representation we get as a conference, the better we look. And like, especially for golf and swimming alike, it's an individual sport, but also a team sport in the sense that like you just want bodies in certain situations, like whether for Big East, it's your 18 guys scoring for golf. It's your top five guys scoring. And then as many people you can get into the NCAAs, the better. If it's one, fantastic. And obviously you got to have your whole team go down there. So when you were playing here at Seton Hall, what was it like getting coached by Clay White? And then how did that transfer when you were an assistant with it?
Yeah. So certainly, you know, Clay has been, obviously was my coach, now a mentor and a great friend. So playing for Clay, I said I had such an unbelievable experience here. He came from a bit of a military background, mm-hmm. make us run a lot, right? And was hard on some of the guys that weren't, you know, being respectful, mm-hmm. certain areas they needed to clean up. I loved that aspect, right? I think it made me and all the guys around me so much more prepared and you know, never going to be late to something, right? Mm-hmm. Just that much more buttoned up. And then it wasn't until I started coaching with Clay, right? You start to see who's the guy behind that military feel, sure, right? Sure. And he is as genuine and kind. And, you know, I still, to this day, every time I call him, he picks up and has all the advice for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm eternally grateful for that guy and still one of my dear friends.
Yeah, I know. I think it was during the COVID year. That was a mess of a year to begin with, but I think you guys were lifting at the same time we were, maybe the year after. We were early in the morning, and both us and golf, and Clay would be in there with us, with the golf team lifting. We'd be in there at 6 a.m. in the morning, whatever time it was. So definitely got to see it a little bit there, for sure.
Yeah, well, speaking of weight room time, my first time meeting you is always a good story. I don't know if I've ever told you a story before, have I?
No.
Well, my first time meeting Coach Harper, I didn't realize he was a coach. This is the first year of the transfer portal, and me being me and say, hey, what's up, everyone? Great to be back and all this. I go up to Coach Harper. I'm like, hey, I'm Jonathan, a new grad transfer. And he was like, no, I'm actually the coach, but thank you. I really appreciate that.
So. To this day, that's probably the greatest compliment I've ever received. And I am, I was really hoping that would come out in this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Make a note of it.
I tell my wife that all the time. And it's I appreciate that. You know, a guy in his 30s getting mistaken for a college kid. I will never top that. So thank you.
It was 100% genuine. I was like, oh my gosh, gee, I'm sorry.
It was
a good moment. Good moment for sure.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And it's really, that's the only reason I said yes to this podcast.
Yeah, oh, there we go. There we go. Good. Hey, it paid off.
So, since you've gotten to play here, now you're coaching here, what has been the biggest change from your playing days to now your coaching years here at Seton Hall?
Change for me, change in the university?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both.
So I think my favorite part is the core of this university hasn't changed, mm-hmm. in that it's still, you know, it still gives you that Big East Conference, you know, powerful D1 sports feel. Mm-hmm. But when you're on campus and, you know, you walk into the rec center, there's not an overwhelming amount of athletes, right? It feels like, you know, you're a close-knit family. The class sizes are small enough for you to have a relationship with your professor and have interactive learning. So I love that the core remains the same. Obviously, the facilities have improved drastically since I've been here, and that is exciting for me as a coach, right? That the university and the athletic department care enough to keep up with these other, you know, bigger schools, right? And they care about their students, their regular students, and especially their student athletes. So, yeah, I'd say that's probably the biggest change that I've seen. It's obviously wildly different being a coach walking into the rec than it was being a player. But you know, it's special. I love popping up to our golf room, our indoor facility, and just kind of seeing which one of my players is in there, you know, working out and putting in the work when I'm not asking him to or watching. And I am pleasantly surprised almost every time I walk up there. So, and just, you know, building the relationships with other coaches and our staff here, it's pretty special.
Yeah. So when you play, was the golf lab a thing at that point, or what did that area look like?
Yeah. So you guys know the recovery room?
Yep.
Yes.
So the next door down, which is now storage, but it's the same size as the recovery room. That was our golf room when I played here.
Oh, wow.
The current golf room was the varsity weight room.
Mm-hmm. I think Ange told us about that in his episode. Yeah, okay. Think of that. Like, that space is really tiny for a varsity weight room, if you think about it.
Yeah. But a good space for a golf room.
Perfect space.
And so, yeah, they actually started that when I was about to graduate.
Of course.
So I didn't get to experience the current golf room as a player. And, you know, we've made improvements to it since and continue to try to plan for more improvements just to give the guys the best opportunities. You know, we're in the Northeast. It gets cold, as we see right now, right?
Yeah.
So none of my players are out on the golf course today, but they will be in the golf room. So so allowing them the best space to try to get better each time they walk in there is important. You know, there's a lot of schools that have to deal with weather. You know, Florida schools don't have that issue. But we're asked to compete against those schools in February, right? So, you know, a lot of my guys are fortunate enough to spend the holidays or you know, go somewhere and play some golf on a real golf course over the winter. And we try to take as many training trips as we can just to make sure they're getting their reps in. But it's really helpful to have that space and, you know, be able to get better each time you walk into it.
Yeah.
I got two things. One thing, I'm going to need a round on the simulator.
I got you.
Yeah. All right, cool. And next thing, like, just like, it's hard to replicate like actual golfing outside. I mean, you can have a similar, you have like the putting green and all that. And just the importance of being outside and actually doing it, just like similar to baseball, where we just had Andrew Churchill on the podcast and softball, like being inside, like obviously stinks and whatnot. So having the opportunity to travel and go to a place warm and play in a nice atmosphere is all the difference for our sport. So yeah, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
Now, when you do those training trips, do you look for courses that are a little more challenging so that your players can have a challenging maybe 2-3 days on a course, or are you looking for a course that maybe just like maybe more typical, more maybe a little more easier so they can get lower scores?
Yeah, so last year we went to Stream Song Resort for our kind of spring training. And for our spring break trip, we're going to be in South Carolina this year.
Okay.
We'll do our Big East site visit. The club's called Riverton Point down there, so we'll make sure all the guys get a chance to play and see that one. But, you know, in terms of those training trips, it's more so the size and space of the driving range, right? You know, when we've got 11 guys on the roster right now, so you need a place where you can show up and all 11 guys get work in. And it's just all about, you know, when you're hitting inside, right? You know, you can look at all the ways that it's a disadvantage, but if you lock in, you know, use our TrackMan, can really get your distance control down, right? You on our artificial turf, you can make your putting stroke absolutely perfection, right? There are so many positive things you can do indoors. When you get outside, back on grass, it always takes a little bit of time to adjust to the feeling of, okay, ball first. This is the type of grass that I'm hitting, that my club's going through. So the faster, you know, that transition where you're not worried about the contact and you're actually focused on, okay, where do I want to land this? How far do I want to hit it? Mm-hmm. So we just want that transition to happen as seamlessly as possible. So Stream Song was phenomenal for us last year. And yeah, this year we've got more tournaments in the month of February. So we start with the Big East Match Play, mm-hmm. which I should have answered this earlier. I'm so excited for that one. It's kind of like a preview to the conference championship.
Oh, really?
We'll have a bunch of Big East teams go down to Florida, mm-hmm. Play Bear Lakes Club. And it'll be seven of our guys so we'll play three different matches. Mm-hmm. So we'll be matched up against another team in the first round, and our one player will play against their one player.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. And so you don't see that format much until you get to like the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that'll be a fun one.
Is that the first year that this is going on, or has this been?
We've played in the Big East Match Play before. Mm-hmm. We actually played in it the year we won the Big East. We didn't play in it last year. It wasn't on our schedule, but we are so excited to be back into it.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun to. I'll put that on my calendar. I want to keep an eye on that, because that kind of a precursor to what you see at Big East, kind of see where everyone's at. I know it's early enough still where there's can be a lot of improvement, but you can see kind of where your other teams are at within the Big East.
100%. You know, our 2022 championship team, we got beat at the match play, and it you know, our guys didn't love that feeling, so it made them work that much harder. And it's in early February, so you have, you know, until late April to get to work. So I think regardless of how it goes, it's going to do something positive for our team,
mm-hmm.
whether it's confidence building or makes them hungrier.
Yeah. Yeah, that is for sure. So let's get into your program here at Seton Hall. So talk to us about, like, what does a week look like here for the Seton Hall golf team? Whether that's talk to us about the fall schedule and when match play really becomes a thing in the spring and spring schedule.
Yeah. So, you know, as a golf coach, I think, you know, obviously the way I look at it, their golf game is a huge priority of mine. Right. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember they're student athletes. So they have classes. So Mondays and Wednesdays, and this, we actually have the same kind of weekly schedule for mm-hmm. fall and spring. So Mondays and Wednesdays, is a lift in the morning, and then an open class day. So they are able to take whatever classes they need to take, whether it's, you know, they start at 9:30 a.m. and you could be out of class by 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys have evening classes, afternoon classes, but I don't require any golf from them on Mondays or Wednesdays. Tuesday and Thursday, they take classes that they have to get out by 12:15.
Mm-hmm.
So at 12:15, they then grab lunch and we will head to whatever golf course we're going to that day to have our practice, our qualifier. So Tuesday and Thursday, we practice in the afternoons. No class on Fridays. So that's a day that we'll utilize however I see fit, I guess. But it allows us to, you know, maybe drive a little further to a golf course, have a long practice day.
Mm-hmm.
And then my guys will attest to this. I do give them one weekday off just to make sure they get on top of classes. Mm-hmm. They like Sunday off, especially this time of year, because of football season.
Yeah.
the underlying motivator.
So we'll tend to have practice or, you know, a qualifier on a Saturday, mm-hmm. and then I'll give them Sunday off. But, you know, our guys are self-motivated, so a lot of them will still want to play golf on Sunday. And if they've mm-hmm. got a break in their class schedules on Monday or Wednesday, they'll want to play golf or at least go up to the golf room and practice. So, mm-hmm. It's a really good kind of mixture of class and golf.
Mm-hmm.
There's ample time for both. There's tons of opportunity in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things that made my decision to come here easier was the caliber of golf courses in this area.
Oh, yeah.
There's tons of PGA Tour major championship courses all within like 30 minutes of campus.
Mm-hmm.
And then especially if you go out to the Westchester, Long Island area, there's even more good golf courses there. So, So one of my things as coaches is I want to make sure my players experience this area of golf. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, we're not going to the same field every day to practice. Right. We're bouncing around to let the guys have not only new challenges, but, you know, every golfer loves to play a new golf course, and you get to kind of say, hey, I played there. And then you get to say, okay, it's here on my list and how good it is. And just a conversation starter for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think our players are fortunate. They know they're fortunate to have this level of golf in the area. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, my assistant coaches and I do the best we can to let them experience as much of it as possible.
How often do you like rotate the golf course you go to throughout the week, or is it like kind of more consistent? Like we'll go to this one on Tuesdays and this one on Thursday. How does that really work?
Yeah. So Fiddler's Elbow is our home course. So that's where we have unlimited access. Nice. They have a great driving range, and 54 holes. So three different golf courses.
Sweet. Yeah.
So that location is invaluable for us. You know, we having the freedom to know we have that option every day is huge.
Nice.
I have worked as an assistant pro at Canoebra Country Club for the past 6 years. So, you know, my relationship there and the support that they've shown the program, we get there a lot too, and our guys love it. They've got 36 holes, always in championship conditions.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it's even closer to campus, so we utilize that spot a lot. But there are so many clubs in this area, Watchung Valley, Suburban, and we try to bounce around to tons of courses. Morris County, Hamilton Farm. There are so many good golf courses in this area that are, and the pros are all great guys. And my role as a pro has helped my relationships with those guys that want to help us out, and let these young men experience great golf.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is for sure. So what are some of the things that you look for in recruits when you're looking at incoming freshmen or seniors in high school and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'll tell every recruit this, you know, I'm recruiting the young man first. Mm-hmm. I think my big thing is, you know, talking about all these country clubs that we have the opportunity to play. I want to bring in somebody who, if I were to drop you off at the front of that country club, would you represent me, yourself, Seton Hall, men's golf, in a way that we would want, right? Mm. So it just comes down to being respectful, being appreciative, right, of the opportunity. So I like to think I have a pretty good judge of character and can tell kind of right away if somebody understands that or, you know, has humility and so that's kind of the first thing I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. Obviously their scores, and what they've been able to do in a tournament environment. And then the other really big thing for me is, you know, speaking back to my experience at Seton Hall, your relationship with your teammates is everything to me. And we have a small team. So if somebody, you know, doesn't mesh with the rest of the guys, it presents a pretty big red flag, because it doesn't take a whole lot to disturb good team camaraderie and guys that are going to motivate each other and push each other to get better. And I'll tell this because it's one of my favorite things. So one of our freshmen, Isaiah, I asked him how his, you know, his first semester at Seton Hall went, you know, was it what you expected?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this group of guys is incredible. He's like, it's not what I expected at all. Everybody wants me to get better.
Mm.
Right. You know, they're constantly in competition with each other for starting spots. Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't want it given to them. They want to compete for it, and they want to push the entire team to get better. And so, you know, that as a coach is so special to have, that, you know, I don't have to constantly be saying, guys, work harder. They do it themselves.
Yeah.
So I just get to be more of a guide and helping them get there. So, it's pretty cool for me.
Yeah, awesome. That's super special. It's kind of intrinsically player led when, like, obviously there's only, you have 10 players and only five of them compete. Is that how it works?
We've got 11 on the roster right now, which is, Brian told me 10 max, and I I said that we had a transfer I could not say no to, so he said one time for 1 year you can have 11. So we've got 11 this year. It'll go down to 10 next year.
Okay, got
but
it.
But yeah, no, you're right, five starting spots.
Yeah,
some of our events like the Big East Match Play will start seven, and we do tend to bring an individual player or two when we can, just to give that extra tournament experience. So they compete in the event as an individual, but their scores don't count towards the team.
Interesting.
So as a coach, I think that's, you know, I know some coaches don't like to bring individuals to events. I do, because I think tournament experience is everything. Mm-hmm. And it gives players the opportunity to show me, to prove to themselves that they belong, they can compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's cool. I have a cousin that golfed in college. She went to Ohio State and golfed there. And sometimes she said the team dynamic was not always great, because at a high performing school as like Seton Hall, not even just like it's any team atmosphere when you're competing for playing time, it's hard like to be friends and really want the best for your other teammate. But at the same time, you're competing for the same spot. So to have an environment where that happens, but you're also like really pushing for each other, is super special. I mean, it just improves everyone's game, I'm imagining. I know, especially in a small team like golf, it's probably super, super important that you're not having any like conflicts like that, because that can only just hurt the team. So that's awesome that that's the environment the way it is. It's really, really good.
100%. Yeah. So with any recruit, it's pretty vital to me that I put the recruit in front of the guys and the guys in front of the recruit.
Oh, interesting.
So you know, it's not every single player, but also for the recruit, right? Like, you know, if you're signing up to be a part of something for 4 years, you want to know, okay, I can see myself doing that with these guys, right? And so I just think that's important. And yeah, so I every recruit that I bring in, I push for them to come see the campus, know what they're getting into, and I want them to be excited about coming here.
Right. Yeah. And that's super interesting where you kind of put them with the players. And I bet you like ask the players after, like, hey, is he a fit? Like, is he going to be a guy that we want here? I bet that probably tells everything. That's probably like the one like thing, like, okay, if he's not going to be here, like, we can't have that.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think my relationship with the players is stronger because of that, right? They know
trust. Yeah.
You know, I'm not just going to bring somebody that, hey, this guy hits it 350 yards and, but he's not going to speak to you, right? And it allows them to feel like they're a part of this too, and the decision making, and so that part is important to me. And I think so far the recruits appreciate that, right?
Absolutely,
And quick plug: I'm really excited about our recruiting class for 24.
Nice,
it's a good one.
Nice,
really good one.
I can't wait.
How big is it?
I signed two players.
Two players. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Both.
Awesome.
Both phenomenal young men and great players. So.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Great things to come.
Excited. I can't wait. So one more about the program in general. So when you're looking at seniors, you kind of touched on it just now. So what would you tell seniors in high schools, even juniors in high school that are starting to get recruited by that D1 caliber golf program? What would you tell them to focus on or things to work on as they progress in their recruitment?
Yeah. So I think in terms of golf, right? You know, everybody wants to hit it as far as they can, which is definitely important. But our Big East championship team was not certainly not the longest team in the field. Mm-hmm. I think skill wise, inside 150 yards, if you are really good, the closer you get to the green, that shows. I think my best advice to a recruit is just to play in as many high quality tournaments as possible. Mm-hmm. It gives you the best opportunity to to rack up some good performances. Yeah. You know, every coach loves to see that you've broken par multiple times in a, you know, tournament environment. Because mm-hmm. it's golf, it, you know, if you go out with your buddies and shoot 65, that's great. Can you do it when, you know, when you're shaking, you know, an official's hand on the first tee and mm-hmm. there's extra nerves involved? And I think, you know, because the college environment is going to be even more intense than a junior tournament. So so seeing that, you know, good scores consistently in a tournament environment is important. But I'd say, you know, my advice when looking at a university and where you see yourself, you know, look at the coach, right? Because mm-hmm. that guy's leading the ship for you for 4 years. You know, check out the players, because those guys are essentially this fraternity you're signing up for.
Yeah.
And then the area, the school, you know, it's a big decision where you're going to spend absolutely. 4 years of your life. I'm really fortunate that I loved every second of my time here at Seton Hall and feel I made the best possible decision ever. But, you know, some people might want the football tailgating. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, you know, you got to bring it all to the table and make what feels like the best decision for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's obviously individual to each person. Yeah. And it's so cool that you went here out to experience it, because you know what your golfers get into. Is that's awesome. And I want to touch upon one thing. I know this is our next session, the advice to the pirate. But you just talked about how you can golf 65, you can hit 65, but if it's not in a pressure situation, like, what's it really mean? So golf being a really big mental sport, probably, I mean, all sports are mental, so that applies to everything, but golf especially, like, what would be like your advice to like a student athlete that might be like in a mental rut, and maybe just in golf in general, like any mental advice that you have, and like if they're in that mental rut, how to get out of it?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. Golf specifically, there have to be a million books, and probably, you know, I feel like I could write a million books on the mental game of golf. But you know, all you need is one bit of inspiration. I mean, certainly there's sports psychologists out there that I think do phenomenal work. Mm-hmm. But I think in a game like golf, you just like one phrase can put you in the right mindset. Sure. And there's, you know, to get better, sometimes all it takes is a mental click. So, you know, just look for inspiration in whatever you're doing. If you're watching a movie and you know, they give you a line that's like, all right, you know, I'm gonna swing a little freer because of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I do think there's some really good mental books out there on the mental side of the game of golf. But, you know, talk to people that have been there.
It's a long question to answer.
Yeah, yeah. And kind of golf is such an individual game that it's going to be different for everybody. And what's going to work for one person's not going to work for the guy next to you. So, giving it's why sometimes it can be a difficult sport to coach. Cause sometimes I feel like I am just like I'm there to be a psychologist for the guys on the golf course. Right. Yeah. Like, what do I say to put this guy in the right mental state to hit this golf shot?
Interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be wildly different from one player to the next.
Sure.
So, you know, getting to know these guys really well so that I can be as supportive as possible and help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there a video of you mic'd up a while back on the court, on the course, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was interesting. Like, I remember I didn't listen to it recently. It was a little while back, but it was interesting to hear you talk with different guys and like see like what their head's at. And it wasn't like you were, I don't want to say, obviously they're a coach, but you weren't like really coaching them up. It's more just having a conversation.
Yep.
And I think sometimes for the player, that probably is like really supportive. Like, oh, he just wants to be collaborative here. Mm-hmm. It's not more like, oh, you got to do this. It's like, no, it's like, just like seeing like trusting your players. Like, they know what they need to do. It's like, what you thinking here? I got this on this course, whatever. Like, and it was really interesting to see the kind of like how you interact with every different guy. So it was awesome.
Yeah. So that video, it was cool to see, and Keith did a great job with it.
Yeah.
That was for the bulk of it. I was walking with Dre.
Right. Yep.
And I mean, Dre's a ridiculous golfer, right? Like greatest tee ball I've ever seen. He could hit one stripe in the middle of the fairway with his driver. So I didn't really need to do anything off the tee with him other than confirm wind direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the ball's going to drift a little this way because of the wind. And he just liked to talk that through with me.
Sure.
And then in the fairways, we would just talk numbers, right?
Okay.
And then you probably saw it at the end, I just would give him a quick plug of affirmation, like commit to it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. It was simple.
That's all, you know, I worked with him a lot and learned that about him. And so that's all he needed from me. And then some days he'd want me to read every single putt for him with him. And on that particular day, he read his first few well, and I was like, all right, I'm going to let you fly. I'm going to hang to the side of the green and you call me in if you're unsure of a read, but I want you to trust your read. Mm-hmm. So for most of the day he was pouring them in. So he just kind of rolled with it and I was there to cheer him on. So it is day to day. It can be different.
Sure.
Player to player. It's mm-hmm. wildly different. But it keeps it exciting.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really gratifying. But when a player is standing over a 4-footer and I can't do anything about it, I can't hit the putt. Yeah, I'm sure I'll go gray pretty quickly. But
yeah.
If you can't tell, I love my job.
Yeah, no, I definitely see it. And it's really cool how you have such passion and you really care a lot about like how you interact with each guy and the way, not even, or just for example, just one guy and how to interact with him, like based on the day, what they want and all that. And I just said, makes it exciting, makes it really interesting. And I can definitely see how much you love it. So it's really cool.
Yeah, you can definitely see. So as we wrap it up into our last little segment here, it's called Walk the Plank, and we're gonna have some quicker questions here and some quicker answers, obviously. But if you have an explanation, please feel free to explain. First one, Jonathan.
Let me take the first one up.
Sneaky.
I had a quick edit because I had a thought right at the beginning of the conversation. Thomas Cardona lives in my house or the mm-hmm. house I live in, and good dude. But how is he as a golfer? Because he says he's golf with you. I don't know how many times he's golf with you, but I need an honest answer here for how his golf game is. So give me an evaluation.
So just once, Thomas, I love you.
already great so far.
No. So Thomas has a ridiculously good golf swing. Okay.
Okay.
He shouldn't have that good of a golf swing. I happened to play with Thomas on a day where, and golfers will relate to this, but you know, he had his worst day ever.
Okay.
Right. So, and that's pretty, it's a common theme that when you play with somebody, you're going to have an off day,
okay.
but I can tell Thomas is a good golfer.
Okay.
He's also a really good time on the golf course.
Good time.
So,
Gotcha.
I just mean he's fun to play with.
Which,
you know, I get asked all the time, like, do you like playing with golfers of all skill levels? If you play fast enough and you're fun to be around, everybody will want to play golf with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain and simple. And so I will golf with Thomas any day of the week.
Awesome.
Wow. There you go.
I'll make sure he listens to the episode. I won't say anything. I'll tell him you shouted him out. I'm not going to tell him anything, but just listen to the end of the episode, Thomas. There you go.
Favorite place that you've gotten to play golf at?
Pebble Beach. I grew up there. I'm a little bit biased, but I think it is the greatest golf course on the planet, carved into the most remarkable piece mm-hmm. of land, and it's as special as it gets.
Yeah, beautiful place. So this might relate. Hardest course you've ever played at?
It may not be the hardest golf course on the country, but it's home to my highest tournament round ever, and it's Matitoconk, which is in New Jersey.
Okay.
Southern Jersey. I played in the New Jersey Open in 2017 there.
Mm-hmm.
We had our second son. I slept in the hospital. I was going to pull out of the event because we had our son the day before the event.
Oh, wow.
And my wife said, you know what? I've got enough support here. I'm good. Go play. And that course beat me up. And I can't blame the lack of sleep. That place was hard.
When you were growing up, who was your favorite golfer to watch?
Tiger Woods, hands down.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yep. So when you're on the golf course, do you like to listen to music? And if so, what kind of genre do you like to listen to?
So I'm a big music guy. Obviously, you know, my players can't listen to music
mm-hmm.
competing. But if I'm playing with my buddies or I do enjoy listening to music on the mm-hmm. golf course. Types of music depends on the day. Mm-hmm. I do think country music is great. Give me some oldies. But it just kind of depends on who I'm with mm-hmm. and the vibe, the mood of the day.
Mm-hmm. I got to work with SiriusXM's Golf Channel this past summer as an assistant producer. I didn't realize how much of a debate this was with golf music on the golf course versus off the golf course. And I got to hear some really high-spirited debates between callers, like saying there should be no music on the golf course, there should be music on the golf course. So I got to hear a lot of that this summer.
This could be a controversial take, but I am all for music on a golf course as long as you don't have it blaring to disturb
everyone else.
That's fair.
Because the group next to you might not be a music on the golf course kind of group. So I think anything that makes golf more fun is a positive. Mm-hmm. So just as long as you're doing it respectfully.
Yeah.
It's probably like the traditional baseball folks of like wanting like the shift band or not shift band. Yeah. Like kind of probably similar thing. Like traditional people may not as much. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm just trying to make a comparison. But anyways.
Who has been your biggest role model during your coaching career?
Good question. So I've got a few. So, I mean, I've had three coaches that I've worked with and been coached by. So Clay White, Alan Small, and Ian Lagowitz. Mm-hmm. So Ian Lagowitz is our associate head coach. Got to be one of the greatest human beings on the planet. And so I'm so fortunate to have him still part of this program and helping me out. All three of those guys I look up to and pull a lot of information from. But I'd say in terms of like more from a distance, I got a chance to watch Josh Gregory speak, and he was the head coach at Augusta State when they won two national mm-hmm. titles, and then he coached at SMU, was Bryson's coach. He was who recruited Bryson. And I listened to him give a presentation, and I felt inclined afterwards to go up to him because it kind of validated to me that I'm doing the right thing by being mm-hmm. a coach, because we saw it in a very similar way. And his big thing was, you know, individuality, right? So I have got 11 guys on my team. I'm going to be a different coach to one guy than I am the other guy mm-hmm. because this is golf, right? Yeah. And what one guy needs to work on and needs to hear is wildly different than what another guy needs to work on mm-hmm. and needs to hear. Now, at the same time, it's a team and we're all trying to buy into, you know, one collective goal.
Yeah.
So managing that can get tricky, but I'm not the kind of coach that's going to say, all right, everybody, we're going to Fiddler's. You're going to hit 108 irons, 160 degree wedges, then you're going to hit 50 drivers, and then you're going to go make 200 3-footers, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to help develop a plan for each guy,
right?
So that they know what they're working on. They hold themselves accountable. You know, maybe they do it in pairs if two guys want to work on the same thing, but it's just a lot more individualized for each golfer.
Mm-hmm.
So he's somebody that he now works with Will Zalatoris on tour. He's a TaylorMade guy, which I am too. So I look up to that guy, but certainly Clay, Alan, and Ian are three guys that are close to me and I'll lean on for advice.
Amazing. Last one for me. In one word, describe your coaching style.
Ooh, I feel like I just did in a lot of words. I think it's a big word in my household and with our team. I use the word respect a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important in the game of golf. And so I show respect to my players because they're not they're not children, they're young men. Mm-hmm. And I expect them to respect me in return, show respect to a golf course, show respect to, you know, a club. I know that, I mean, that word, and then maybe fluid, right? Like, mm-hmm. be what each guy needs at the right time. And just continue to learn more about them, learn more about golf. I mean, anybody that thinks they have golf figured out is lying to you. So just continue to try to get better and mm-hmm. help as much as I can.
Amazing. That'll do it for me.
That's awesome stuff. I think we could have kept going for sure, but I know we're going to wrap things up here. Do you have anything else to add before we kind of end things up here?
No, I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on. I think you both are doing a phenomenal job with this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
You're like really well spoken. Congrats on both your success. I know what, 3 biggies titles last year?
The year before, my junior year.
Okay, junior year?
Yeah.
Dude.
Not bad.
How many rings you get for that?
Only one.
Ah.
I know.
They should change that.
Just show up here and be like,
Sorry. It's one individual, 3 relay, 2 relays my junior year. So, we're looking for one more ring. We'd like one more year. So, and then this guy.
Still chasing.
He's still chasing too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to have.
Two rings coming back from your Big East, my Big East. Hey guys,
I have one thing for you.
Sure.
I hear you make some protein balls. Yes, sir.
So these are just a little shout out here. Energy balls, they're on sale. Just kidding. So this is peanut butter, dark chocolate, oats. This have a little cinnamon on them. Well, coconut flakes, sea salt, and these also have pumpkin. I heard pumpkin is good for recovery. Also help the texture of the energy ball, but please feel free.
Dude,
yeah. All you.
You're the man.
Yeah, of course. All right. Of course. I'll stop by your office and drop you some off.
Gotcha. You're the man.
Of course.
That's going to wrap up this latest episode of the Coaching Carousel. We will see you next time.